series is entitled Spiritual Habits. And so we are on, I think, the third of this series here. Just got a couple more to go. You can find any of the ones that you missed online if you have a desire to do that. So today, though, I want to talk to you about fasting. And so as we get into God's Word, I want you to think about fasting. And the point that I hope that you get overall, so if you check out shortly after I'm done with this sentence, I guess that's all right. I pray that you won't, though. But what I want you to get is this. Fasting is for your good, for your spiritual edification, and if you're not practicing it, you should. That's the argument that I'm going to make, okay, in a nutshell. Of course, I'm going to get that from God's Word, not just my opinion, but it says that here. So as we jump into that, let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we come before you asking for you to help us. As Christians, we have the vocabulary of these kind of things, but sometimes, Lord, we lack the practice. God, I pray that you would change that in our hearts this morning. I thank you that you have given us your Word that we can come to and hear from you. So God, I would pray that as we look at your Scripture this morning, that you would stir in us a desire to be more faithful, a desire to practice our faith in maybe a new way for some of us, or that you would reignite in others. God, I pray that you would guard us and guide us. It's in your name that we do pray. Amen. So if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to Matthew 6. That's where we're going to be this morning. If you don't have a copy, I'm going to put it up on the screen in front of you. If you're a note taker and you forgot to grab your copy of notes, there are some downstairs. You can feel free to grab that. You won't interrupt me at all. That's fine. And again, I'm going to put those up here too. And so if you find your way to Matthew 6, this is what the Word of God says. I'm going to read it. You can follow along. He says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And when your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Man, this text was preached to me a long time ago. And what I mean by that is this text was preached to me before I was even a Christian. So if you ever heard my testimony, I won't bore you with the whole thing, but I'll give you just a snippet for those of you who haven't heard. So in my early 20s, I wanted to get married. And so I wanted me a good girl to marry, right? Well, as you might guess, there's a good place to search for good girls, and that's usually at a good church, right? We even had a little guy clapping. He's ahead of his time, I'll tell you what. You find a good girl at church, right? Amen. So I went to this church. It was in Kalamazoo at the time. That's where I was living. And the pastor that was there wasn't the permanent lead pastor. He was what you call an interim pastor while they were searching for a new permanent pastor, okay? And he was preaching a message, and it was on this topic. And it was something very similar to what I'm going to give to you. And the reason is because he was a Bible preacher. You know, you can't just invent new stuff all the time. That's kind of hard with preaching, just so you know. Is the Bible says what it says, and then I've got to try to make it new and fresh to you every time. That's a more difficult task than you might realize. But anyway, as he was preaching this, it was struck by me. And I thought to myself, you know, I've never done that before. I've never fasted before. Maybe that's you. Well, I hope that that won't be you after today's message. But the first thing that I want to talk about based on that is the precedent that was set for fasting. So if you're a note taker, that might be the first blank for you, the precedent of fasting. It was set up for us in Scripture, right? And not just here. It was Old Testament stuff as well as New Testament stuff. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is this precedent was a when, not an if. Maybe you think to yourself, well, if I fast, then I'll do these things. Well, Scripture doesn't say that, okay? Now, you may say that I'm splitting hairs, but for you, I really want to encourage you. This was something that God had given Israel through Moses, when he had given them the Old Testament law, that there was, you know, there was feasts and there was all these things like that, but there was also fastings that would take place. And you, as you read through Scripture, historically, you see things like when Queen Esther was under persecution for the Jews, that she had asked them to fast. You see other times in Scripture, Daniel fasting. In the New Testament, then, we see that Jesus participates in fasting, the most famous of which is one that I would say don't try to tackle your first time, right? 40 days and nights in the wilderness. Maybe leave that for later on as you build up your spiritual and emotional and physical tolerance for those kind of things, right? But we see fasting as a precedent in Scripture, and in the text that we have today, it says, and when you fast, not if. Fasting is not an option, but it's given for those who want to follow Christ. So there's something that's very popular in today's society called intermittent fasting, right? There's all kinds of research that says how good that is. Now, some of the research isn't always lining up. They'll say there's based on age or based on body type or based on gender. Maybe there's you do this kind of fast and then your body does. In fact, you can look up, if you want to, you can go home after service. Please don't grab your phones right now. But you can go home after service. You can look it up and you can say, if I fast for, you know, X amount of days or whatever, what happens to my body during that time? And so science in 2025 has finally caught up to God. Isn't that amazing? But we're not doing fasting for merely physical reasons. No, no, no. Jesus' language implies fasting is given to a practice for his followers. He tells his followers, when you fast, meaning that he anticipates that this is what they will be doing. He also tells them later in Matthew 9:15, he says, the time is coming when the bridegroom, speaking of himself, will be taken from them, and then they will fast. Because he was asked, well, how come your disciples aren't, you know, fasting right now? Because even the hypocritical religious leaders of Jesus' day recognized that this was something that we who follow God should be doing, right? And he says, how come they're not doing this? And he says, because it's not time to do that yet. But there will come a time when it is time. And I already mentioned there's biblical examples of this. In the New Testament, some of the biblical examples was in Acts 13:2 through 3. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I had called them. So I just want you to consider how a soldier prepares for battle. All the training that goes into that. And just as physical training is expected of a soldier, so too, this spiritual discipline is expected for believers. Dallas Willard says, fasting confirms our utter dependence upon God by finding in him a source of sustenance that goes beyond food. The next precedent for fasting, as we see in the text there, is this doing it without hypocrisy, right? When you fast, don't post on Facebook an hour by hour, you know, expostulation of how your fast is going, right? So this isn't in Scripture, I just think this is good practice. Don't fast during the holidays. And here's why. Not because it's more difficult. If you want to do it, that's fine. I want to help you avoid doing this, because you'll show up to these times, you'll show up with family, and they'll bring out, you know, that great smorgasbord of whatever, and you'll say, I can't, I'm fasting. And even if you don't mean to say it with like this, I'm better than you ideology, it might be the case that might happen. And so I want to guard you from that. And so when I say without hypocrisy, when Jesus says without hypocrisy, what we're talking about there, what I believe he's talking about is with the right motive. Yes, science does prove. It has said that, hey, if you fast for this many hours during this many times, your body does all these great things, and it's good for us. And so for a health reason, we ought to be doing it. But that's not the reason that Jesus says to do it. That's not the reason Scripture tells us to do it. That would be a motive that is wrong. That's just an added benefit. Now, in the Scripture, he says, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. And so basically, this is this idea of when you fast, do it without grumbling and complaining or attention seeking, right? if you're choosing to fast, you're choosing to do that to honor God. The last thing that you want to do then is bring honor to yourself by your complaints about how hard your fast is. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And so remember that when we are fasting, we're doing it for Christ's approval, for God's attention, for fellowship with the Spirit, not for proving to other people how spiritual we are. In fact, even though it seems a little counterintuitive, I don't want you to immediately go home this week and then Monday start your fast simply because Pastor John preached a message on Sunday saying that you should, unless you feel like the Holy Spirit is actually drawing you to do that. He talks about fasting in humility and secretly, right? That our Father who sees in secret will reward us. Now, if you're single, that makes it way easier, because there's not a bunch of other people in your life that maybe you need to tell that you're fasting. If you're married, that does make it a little bit harder. Like, for example, with me, Elisa does, let's just be honest, all of the cooking in our home, right? Except for recently, because you have blessed us with meals because of the new baby. So thank you, and they've been great. And so I have to let her know if I'm fasting, because otherwise she'll make more food or there'll be leftovers or whatever. So I try to let her know out of love for her and affection for her, not so that she can be like, "Oh man, I'm just a blessed woman and look at this man that I've married." Don't worry, I think she rarely thinks that anyway. But Richard Foster says, "True fasting is a private matter between the believer and God." John Piper says, "Fasting is a way of feasting on the Lord and finding Him to be the soul's delight." And so, along with Piper, who would say probably something like this too, as you fast, I want you to do it in such a way as you're pursuing your reward. You might think, "Well, wait a minute, John, I thought you were just saying that we're only supposed to fast for the glory of God." Yes, brother or sister, that is your reward. Gotcha. But also, he tells us things here that our Father who sees in secret will reward you. Well, what is that reward? Well, the reward is a spiritual one. It can be something as simple as just God's sustaining you to the point of you saying, like, maybe you've never fasted before, and maybe you're going to try a fast, and you're actually wondering to yourself, like, can I actually even do this? Like, can I physically, mentally, emotionally do this? Maybe your reward is simply going to be the fulfillment of this first-time fast and the joy of knowing that God sustained you through that. But when you fast, do so in pursuing your reward. Your reward is a deeper relationship with Christ, more intimate relationship with God, a more fervent leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit. Fasting will lead us to spiritual breakthroughs. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desire of your heart." And what that scripture means is when our hearts are on the Lord, when our desire is for the Lord, He will give Himself to you. That's what that scripture means. Fasting is not about changing God. It's really about transforming our hearts. So I'm going to steal an illustration from the sermon that I heard years ago. So think about a hungry child who continues to petition for food until it's delivered. Now, because we have 5 children, my wife has developed this amazing ability to ignore people. Do you believe that? I don't know how she does it, because I can't do it. I can't do it. I will hear them say things from the other room: "Mom, mommy, hey mom, mom, mother, mom." And I'm like, "What?" I just answer. I'm like, "What do you possibly, what is it that you want?" Right? Now, Elisa has to do this as a survival technique. I hope you understand that. It's not because she's a bad mom. It's just simply she must do that to be able to survive in that kind of household. But here's what I can tell you too. Eventually, she always answers them. Always. Even if it's not directly. She has a sixth sense about what it is that they need. So maybe all they're saying is, "Mom, Mom," and she knows just instinctively, "Oh, I already know what you're asking for, so I'm going to ignore you and not waste all the time like having that discussion. Here's the thing, whatever it is that you're asking for that I know that you need right now." Our God is a good God. If we as sinful human beings know how to do what is right by our children, how much more our Father in heaven? And so when we fast, it is as if we are taking on the form of that little child coming to his mother and pulling on her apron and saying, "Mom, Mom, Mom." We are putting away, we are leaving our toys to go to the Father and removing the other distractions when we fast. So pursue your reward. So I want to talk to you then about the purpose of fasting. There are some things that I hope that you will take into account when you fast. Firstly, then, is the longing for God's presence. This is the purpose of fasting, longing for intimacy with Him. Psalm 42, 1 through 2 says this, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." And maybe what you're thinking, is, I don't know that I would even say of myself that I have this kind of longing. How can I fast to fulfill a longing that maybe if I'm honest with my own self, I don't even necessarily know that I feel this way all the time? Well, brother or sister, maybe that's why you fast. Maybe you fast so that God can grow this longing in you. Maybe you simply fast just to say, "God, I want for that scripture to be true of me. And so therefore, I'm going to seek to remove from me these other distractions so that I can ask you more fervently to make this be what my heart says." John 15, 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Perhaps you're going through a season in life where you don't necessarily feel, and I want you to be careful with that because the Bible isn't necessarily a book of feelings, it's a book of truth, okay? But maybe you're going through a season right now where you don't feel God's presence. Well, I would posit to you, maybe try fasting as you long for God's presence. Fasting is the soul's cry of hunger to God. Perhaps another reason for your fast is deepening your spiritual understanding. I didn't update my thing. So don't write connectivity, write understanding. James tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." I would recommend to you fast. When you have a decision that you need to make, fast and ask and seek. He tells us that he will give generously without reproach. He will give wisdom. James 4:8, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Be focused on this. So not only for that intimacy with God, but also for understanding. When you have a tough decision, when there's a fork in the road, and then lastly, to align yourself with God's will. Maybe you're at a place where you already know because of the understanding, the fork that you're supposed to take, but you don't really want to take that road. Maybe you're at a place where you know what to do that's right, and the sinful flesh in you is waging war against your spirit. So starve the flesh. Go to God that he might align you with his will, that he might give you the strength. Fasting helps to express, deepen, and confirm the resolution that we already know, even within ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind, by the testing that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So sometimes we need to fast so that we can be brought into alignment with the path that God wants for us. So I challenge you to use fasting as a tool to deepen your relationship with God and to seek his will in your lives. So let's talk practicality, right? How should we fast? What does that look like? What kinds of fasts are there? How do we have a successful fast, quote unquote, right? I hope that that's what you're asking. I hope if I've done my job, I hope that I've sold you on Scripture that we ought to be men and women of fasting. If we know Christ Jesus, we ought to be fasting, right? So then I hope you're at the asking, okay, what's that look like? How do I be successful at that? I want to practice that. Please help me do that. Great. You're in the right place. I'm glad that you asked. If you haven't asked, well, you've got 8 minutes. You're going to hear about it anyway, okay? So hopefully you're curious. But here's how you ought to maybe think about doing this. Firstly, set an intentional time, okay? Don't just wake up one morning random willy-nilly and be like, today I'm fasting today, okay? That's I suppose you could do that, but I'm here to tell you it's best for you to set an intentional time. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Think about all the illustrations that Jesus would use. Often, they are very agricultural-based, right? Well, a farmer doesn't just wake up one day and say, well, I guess today I'm plowing. No, he has seasons that he does things in. He is very methodical in the way that he does it. You know how I knew that? You know that? Have you ever seen a cornfield ever in your life? It's not just like, there's rows to this stuff. There's reason. There's a method for the way that they do it that makes it make sense. So us too, we need to set an intentional time, especially if you have never fasted before. You need to be aware of your own physical limitations, right? You need to be aware of your own mental and emotional limitations and where you're at with those kind of things. And then you need to make for yourself a specified time, place, duration of which you are going to fast and from that which you are going to fast. An intentional time, intentionality in this is key. In part, because then you have something to measure against, something to measure by. Secondly, maybe this goes without saying, but I'm going to tell you anyway, combine prayer with fasting. So just not eating, which is, by the way, you can fast from other things, okay? But the thing you ought to be fasting from usually, biblically, is from food. Biblically speaking, that's what a fast was, okay? But combine prayer and fasting. Don't just go without food all day or for 2 days or 3 days or for a week or whatever it is that you're going to decide to do and not then at each time that you would, and this is also why it takes setting intentional time, each time that you would normally eat, let that be a time where you're spending time in prayer. Maybe do some research ahead of time and say, okay, if I normally eat at noon, because whatever I do for a job or whatever, I normally eat at noon, normally my lunch break is 30 minutes, well, great. Well, then if it takes you 15 of that 30 to eat your food, then at noon, set a timer and spend 15 minutes in prayer. And for some of you, even that scares you, and you're like, 15 whole minutes? Yeah. Get the Bible out. Read Scripture. Read Scripture and pray through Scripture. Repeat God's words back to Him and then just apply it to yourself. But combine prayer with fasting. Talking to God is the whole reason for this. I would even say that without prayer, fasting is just a diet or starvation, depending on how long you're doing it, right? And then fast with a purpose. Why are you fasting? What are you seeking to gain? What are you seeking to get? What are you seeking to hear? What are you seeking to change? Who are you seeking to help? What situation is it that you want closure on? Don't just fast, because Pastor John just preached a sermon on it, right? We just covered that. So I don't think, let me check. Oh, I have them here. Okay, great. So here are some purposes that you are specifically fasting for, maybe, and I'm sure there's more. I'm just going to give you five of them. Okay, the first is seeking God's guidance. Like I said, maybe you're at a crossroads and you don't know which way to go. Maybe there's a decision you have to make in your life and you're not sure what that is. Maybe somebody else in your life has a decision, right? Parents, maybe your child is at an age where they're having to make a big life decision. Fast for them. Maybe you have a friend, a different family member. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's the church. Seeking God's guidance. Use fasting as a time to pray for clarity and wisdom to make these important decisions. Pursuing spiritual intimacy. Maybe you don't feel close to God. Well, pray that He would change that in you. Maybe you have a family member who says this to you, that they don't feel close to God. Maybe you just simply want, but maybe nobody said anything to you, but you know that people go through that, and so you say, I know that there's somebody in the church right now that doesn't feel this way, and I'm going to fast for them. I mean, that's what some of the prophets did for Israel, isn't it? They fasted for the other people, not for them. They were hearing from God. They were talking for God. It wasn't an intimacy problem with them. They knew that Israel was the one that had no relationship with God, and they wanted to bring that back. Cultivating self-discipline in your own life. We live in a society that is absolutely crazy, historically. Historically, it's just crazy. Most of us in this room, so not everybody in our country, but probably most everybody in this room, you've got a vehicle you can get in that has heat on in it. You've got a house that you're going to go to that has a refrigerator that's keeping food chilled for you right now. You didn't have to go and go kill something and then pluck it or skin it or whatever and then put it over a spit. You didn't have to build the fire from scratch or go chop down the wood. I mean, some of us, we are so spoiled. Some of us, we do that for fun. You understand that, right? Like, this is hobbies for us, not survival, right? You don't have to boil your water every time you want to take a drink or go dig a hole every time you want to go do something else, right? Like, we've got it pretty good in this nation. Perhaps we're battling with self-discipline in our own lives. Perhaps we all like eat a little bit more than we should at every meal. Perhaps we all are entertained a little bit more than we all should every evening. Perhaps we're spending our money a little too freely than what we should. There's all kinds of self-disciplines that we need to cultivate, and fasting is a way to ask God to bring those into our lives, and it's a finite area where we can commit to allowing God to give us self-discipline. He has told us that we are to govern our bodies, that we are to hold it accountable to God, that He is a temple that lives within us, and we ought to use it in a way that is righteous and good. We need self-discipline for that. maybe there's something in your life that you need to ask forgiveness for. And whatever it is, you feel like just the regular prayer time isn't getting it. Or maybe you want to express to God the depth of your desire to have real heart change, real repentance, real transformation. Maybe there's somebody else who you know that needs real repentance, real heart change, real transformation. Again, is this not what the prophets did for Israel? They would fast for other people to come to repentance. This is a way to show a broken and contrite heart before the Lord. And then lastly, I've touched this several different times, but at this place, interceding for others. Things like health concerns. If you have a family member who's going through a physical ailment, and maybe they're at a place where you can't even, like, you can't even bring them meals, or you can't go, you know, like, babysit their cat or whatever it is that they need because they're far enough away. Well, guess what? Interceding for them transcends all boundaries. In fact, I just want to give you a pitch, okay? This isn't to press you in one direction or another. But really leaning into, hey, I want to be like Christ, I would say fasting for the purpose of interceding on somebody else's behalf. Because I guess a way that you could understand this is Jesus ate with his disciples, and then he said, I will not do this again until you are with me in glory. So in essence, since the glorification, since he was brought up to heaven, we could make the argument that Jesus is fasting currently, but he's also making intercession on our behalf to the Father. And so Jesus is having fasting intercession on your behalf right now. How great would it be to be Christ-like in that we ourselves are imitating him even in what he is doing before the Father's throne at this very moment for you, for us to do that for someone else? Greater love has none than this, that they would lay down his life for his friends. I'm sure that we can lay down the fork and spoon for a period of time for our friends too, can't we? So here's my conclusion. I want to invite you to embrace fasting as a spiritual discipline in your life. Because I want for you to draw closer to God and have a better relationship with the Lord. I want you to feel the Lord's presence, but even more than that, I want you to be in the Lord's presence. And sometimes you don't feel that way, but I'm telling you, you are. And so I want to invite you to experience fasting. So I'm going to tell you what I did, and that's not to tell you what you to do. I'm just going to finish my story, right? I told you that I'm stealing some of this from what God used in my life early on. So here's what happened with me. He mentioned this, and I thought to myself after the sermon, first of all, I've never heard a sermon about fasting before at that point in my life. Never heard it. After he said it, I was like, makes total sense. Makes sense. Can't believe I didn't hear it before, but I didn't make sense to me. I said, so I guess I'm going to try it. Because like I said, this was before I was a Christian. So what I said in my own heart was, all right, God, here we go. I fasted for 3 days, only water. Fasted for a specific answer. And in my heart, I have to admit, in part I was saying, if you're real, then you're going to answer this. This is what I'm throwing the gauntlet down. Don't do that, okay? But God, in his mercy and in his grace, 1 week to the day, I got the answer. And I'm telling you, I didn't tell anybody that this was going on because he preached this way. And I was like, well, the only way this is going to work, it's kind of superstitious. The only way that this is going to work is if I tell no one. He said, if you do it in secret, Father who sees you in secret is going to reward you. So I was like, all right, here we go. You see it, you say in your Bible, ask, seek, and knock, and it's going to be opened. Fine, here we go. And I'll be doggone if he didn't do exactly that. And I shouldn't be surprised, right? I should not be surprised. But I got to tell you, in that time I was. But I was also in awe. And that was the first sermon. And then I decided that was the sermon that the Holy Spirit used in my life to say, maybe there really is something to this whole thing. Maybe I'm going to go back to this church that's preaching the Bible because I know they're going to tell me more about Jesus. And like, all right. And by the way, I went to that church to meet a good girl. Guess what happened? And that wasn't even what I was fasting about during the time. And so here's my challenge to you. Don't rob yourself of fostering this spiritual habit in your life. Don't rob your family, don't rob your friends, don't rob this congregation of not fostering this spiritual habit in your life. Begin to practice biblical fasting in some way and pursue Him and watch and see as God answers these things. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, I pray that you would help us. For some of us, maybe this is the first sermon that we've ever heard about fasting. For some of us, this is we kind of know that this is something. But if we're honest, this is one of those spiritual disciplines where we often, as a church, don't talk about enough, or we as a Christian, maybe we don't practice it very much. God, I pray that you would help us to give us a boldness, a fervency, and a zeal. I also pray, Lord, for all of us who are here, who are hearing this, who are going to practice this because we've been challenged by your Spirit today and by your Word. God, I pray that you would show out in this, that you would answer these prayers, that you would be about the business of building this guidance in our hearts, that we would have the intimacy, that we would cultivate this self-discipline, that we would express repentance through that we would intercede for others in these things, and that you would answer, not for us, but so that our hearts might sing praises and honors and glories to you for being the Alpha and the Omega, for being faithful and true. I also pray, Lord, that when the answer to these fasting prayers is in what we would refer to as the negative, if it's a no, if it's a not yet, I pray that you would guard our hearts from that we wouldn't be disappointed or bitter, but rather through this process, you would bring us to a place where we would accept that as a loving Father who knows best for his children. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
No, not that slide. Go back to the other one.